All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I am joined by the host of the Locked On Hawks podcast, Brad Rowland. We're going to be talking about his thoughts on the Falcons season so far, as well as get into the NBA draft conversation surrounding the Atlanta Hawks.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Today's Locked On Falcons podcast is presented by Pepsi, made for football watching. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. It's nice to sit back and relax during a bye week and not stress about Falcons football, especially when you can crack open a Pepsi, because Pepsi is a refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman. Been covering the Falcons for many years, formerly at FalcFans.com, RIP. Still going strong on Twitter, at FalcFans, and, of course, hosting this preeminent Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. In today's episode, we are joined by none other than Locked On Hawks host Brad Rowland from the sister channel here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And Brad's going to come on, tell us a little bit about this upcoming NBA draft that's later this week on Wednesday. We're cross promoting here on the Locked On Podcast Network. You've heard Brad, you know, he's had a pretty busy week, pretty busy weeks, I should say, doing the daily thing over at Locked On Hawks. Of course, you know, sort of helping run things with the Locked On NBA mock draft that is still going strong, running currently, getting you guys geared up for tomorrow's NBA draft. You can check it out on the Locked On NBA podcast on your favorite podcast platform. So go check that out if you've missed it. And we'll get Brad's thoughts on not only the Falcon season so far, we'll get his thoughts on the Hawks, sort of the compelling storylines entering this draft overall. You know, we'll get the scoop on sort of what the Hawks plans should or could be entering free agency with a lot of cap space, and whether they'll make a big splash there, and whether that all of these moves that the Hawks will be making over the next week or so are going to add up to that team getting back to the postseason. So a lot of Hawks conversation on today's podcast, but we'll sort of start things before we get to that conversation with Brad, giving the update that we learned on Monday morning that Drew Brees will probably not, the Saints I don't think have officially ruled him out, but given that he had broken ribs and a collapsed lung on Sunday's game, I think it's pretty safe to say that Drew Brees will not be playing this weekend against the Falcons. So the expectation, you know, I think the conversation this week is going to surround, you know, do the Saints start Taysom Hill? Do they start Jameis Winston? I feel pretty confident saying that they'll probably start Jameis Winston, but I do expect them to mix in a healthy amount of Taysom Hill as well. And it will be interesting to sort of see if the Falcons can finally, you know, slow down Jameis Winston. Longtime Falcon fans know that Jameis Winston, pretty much every time he's out there on the field, you know, tears the Falcons defense a new one. Hopefully Raheem Morris has learned some things since the last time Jameis Winston picked apart this defense. But, you know, the concern, of course, is that, you know, Jameis Winston was tearing apart the Falcons defense when Dirk Cutter was calling plays, and now he's going to have Sean Payton calling plays. So that will be sort of an interesting thing, but obviously we'll get more into this Falcons Saints matchup on Thursday's crossover episode with the host of Locked On Saints, Ross Jackson. So without further ado, let's sort of jump into the conversation I had this past weekend with Brad Rowland and get his thoughts on what's going on with the Falcons so far in 2020. All right, guys, you are Locked On Falcons. Of course, I am your host, Aaron Freeman, joined by my guest. You guys know him from the Locked On Hawks podcast. Of course, Brad Rowland. He's been doing his thing, of course, on Locked On Hawks daily for several months now, getting you guys geared up for this upcoming NBA draft. It's been the longest pre-draft process in the history of probably Brad's career, 6 months of draft content, and we'll sort of pick Brad's brain on that. Of course, if you guys don't know, you can check out Brad on the Locked On NBA Mock Draft podcast that is running currently and will run up to Wednesday's NBA draft, and then shortly thereafter we'll have free agency. So we'll touch upon all those subjects coming up. Want to say, Brad, welcome to the show first of all, though.
Thanks for having me, as always. It's always good to talk about all things with you, my friend.
All right, man. And because this is Locked On Falcons, we will get Brad's thoughts on the Falcons, just sort of your thoughts on the Falcons season so far.
Well, it's been a season, as you well know. I've been listening to you, so that certainly informs my my opinions here. You know, in a lot of ways, they are better than a 3-6 team. If you look at a lot of the metrics, like they're like a 500-ish team on paper in a lot of ways. And on the other side of that, you start 0-5, and it's kind of hard to keep enthusiasm up for a team that starts 0-5, even when they're playing obviously much better now. They should probably have at least, let's say at least one more, probably more than that in terms of reality, but I would say they should have at least one more win, maybe two, maybe even three. But, you know, the season isn't over, and if you told me that 4 weeks ago, I would have told you you were probably wrong. So the fact that they will still play games that kind of matter now is interesting, whereas at 0-5, you were almost ready to root for losses in terms of draft position and all that stuff. So we're in this range now where the games kind of matter still, especially when it's like rivals, like the Saints are the next game up, and that's going to always matter to everybody that's a Falcons fan. So yeah, it's a weird season. I know you've been battling that as well, but they've shown some fight at least.
Yeah, it feels like they should be, or at least the podcast I should be doing is talking about a very flawed, like 6-3 Falcons team, right?
Yep.
And
agreed.
Whether or not these flaws would come back to bite them in the second half of the season, given the uptick in schedule, and whether or not they can sort of hammer out these flaws. That should be the conversation that we're having, but of course, because of reasons, you know, we're not having that conversation. We're like, this is a much better 3-6 team, but they still have some of those same flaws. So we can't go too far, you know, trying to believe that this team is way better than what they are. They certainly should be better than what they are, but yeah, it's been a kind of crazy season, I guess, for you, Brad. You know, when you've been able to catch the Falcons as of late, what's been the one thing that sort of stood out to you the most? Good or bad?
Yeah, I mean, I think the you know, part of this is the schedule, you have to assume, but the defense has been competitive, which is always the question with the Falcons forever, it feels like now. The offense is talented, we all know this. They've been performing well as well, and that's not always a given. You know, the sometimes the Falcons move the ball and then are unable to finish drives and all that stuff. But I think for me, in terms of just stuff that like feels kind of new, the defense has been pretty reasonable during this last four games, really the last five games. I think they've allowed, what, somewhere in the low 20s or better in five straight or something like that. Yeah. So they've been competitive defensively, and that's kind of all they needed to be. We all knew that coming in. If the offense does what the offense is supposed to do, the defense just has to be okay versus terrible. And after starting out in kind of typical terrible fashion in a lot of ways, they've gotten better, and the offense has stabilized a little bit, and that whole package kind of makes it to where they're much better, of course.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, it's just they don't have to be a great team. They just got to be a good enough team, right, to get the W's, and unfortunately they have been bad enough to get some very, I don't even know the word, just unfathomable losses over this season. So with that being said, we will sort of end the Falcons portion of the podcast and talk about the Hawks and sort of this NBA draft coming up here with Locked On Hawks host Brad Rowland. So everyone should continue supporting restaurants in your community safely. There are thousands of restaurants open for delivery on DoorDash that need your patronage now more than ever. Support your favorite restaurants on DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDON. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDON. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDON for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch. I'm excited to sit back this weekend and discover if this is finally the year that the Falcons actually stop Jameis Winston, and Pepsi is a refreshment that you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi.
So I'm here with Locked On Hawks, Brad Rowland. And I'll be honest with you, Brad, I haven't had the opportunity as of late to listen to as much Locked On Hawks as I would like to, just because I've been busy with the football season. But I've been able to catch it here or there. I know you've been doing a great job covering this draft. As I mentioned at the top, you're part of the sort of main desk doing the Locked On NBA mock draft that's been running since this past Wednesday. And I think by the time this episode airs, will be, I think, on their last day. You've been doing a great job with that. I've been able to catch some of that stuff to sort of get me geared up for this NBA draft as a truly, truly casual observer at this point in time. But it sounds like to me, given that the Hawks are picking high in the draft and sort of the questions going into this draft, it sounds like to me that this is a draft where everybody that's picking at the top of the draft doesn't want to be picking at the top of the draft and want to trade down. It doesn't sound like there's that many teams that are eager to move up. Am I wrong for thinking this? Are we in a situation where this isn't a particularly compelling draft early on? And is there a compelling storyline for you, at least, towards the top of this draft, besides, you know, who the Hawks wind up taking?
Yeah, I think what you said there is right. You know, for the most part, my recommendation in this class, especially at the top, would be to try to trade down. I think this is not a class that is known for its top-end talent. I think at a certain point in the class, whether it's like, you know, number 6 or number 10, so somewhere in there, the draft becomes pretty normal from that point forward, where it's like pretty average compared to the rest of years past. But the top 3, 4, 5, 6 is not what you would normally associate. It's not the worst of all time, maybe, but it's certainly a bottom tier draft in terms of talent. And there isn't an absolute no-brainer, you know, elite number one pick. I have my number one who I've had for quite a while, but even then, that player is normally probably like the number 3 guy in a class or number 4 guy in a class. So that kind of tells you, and because of all of that, teams at the top, I think, have to at least listen to offers to move down. You know, I said this on my podcast a lot recently, but I'll say it again now. You know, even with me saying all that, and the conventional wisdom is what you said, the teams at the top want to move back. That was the same kind of thing last year outside of Zion and maybe John Morant. But even with all that said, there's always a team or two that decides that they fall in love with the guy and they trade up. Last year, the Hawks were one of those teams. The Hawks traded up in a draft that was considered to be a trade down draft. So are the Timberwolves. So it only takes one or two teams. You'll probably see somebody try to move up, but for the most part, you know, the top is not great and it's pretty flat in the lottery, which means maybe some fireworks, but also it's hard to like really criticize a lot that's going to happen probably because these guys are kind of all the same in even as different players, they're kind of like all graded out as similar prospects.
Now, the Hawks are picking 6, as we mentioned. I guess I'm curious sort of in your eyes, at least you can summarize all the Locked On Hawks that I've missed over the last 6 months. what is sort of your plan A in terms of what the Hawks want to do? Maybe a plan B and maybe, you know, not a plan C, but like a pie in the sky, maybe that's a low probability of happening, but may, you know, have a sliver of a chance of being sort of the most ideal sort of scenario for the Hawks coming out of this draft.
Yeah, I think plan A and plan B are pretty close for me, so I'll kind of lump them together to some degree here. But like I just said at the top, I think trading down is a good idea, but you don't have to trade down, if that makes sense. You still have to do it for value. You can't just trade down for no reason. You don't want to just move down to move down. But if you find a team that's willing to pay market value to move up, that's a good idea. So if you're the Hawks at 6, unless something crazy happens and you know, LaMelo Ball or Anthony Edwards falls to 6, which is not likely to happen, the rest of the guys in that range, you know, I have my preferences for sure, and there's some good prospects, but they're all pretty close together. So if you can move down 3, 4, 5, even like 7 slots in this class and get appropriate value to do that, that's what I would be trying to do. There is some buzz out there. The Hawks could also be looking to maybe move the pick and try to get a more established player. That wouldn't be the worst idea, depending on who it actually ends up being. But I think just flexibility, looking for value, is the best case scenario. And for me, that probably means moving back. But if they stay put at 6, there are guys I like. You know, Isaac Okoro is a guy that is a local product from Atlanta, played at Auburn. I like him quite a bit as a defensive first guy, but has some real offensive talent. Tyrese Halliburton same kind of thing from Iowa State, like someone who can do a lot of different things well. And these guys are role players, and that's not sexy. You know this very well, Aaron, especially in the first round of any draft, fans want a star. And at number six in this class, there probably isn't going to be one. And if there is, you don't know who it's going to be right now. There's not a definitive star level prospect that's going to be there. So you're looking for, I don't want to use the word boring, but you're looking for someone who is going to be a good high end role player for you long term, which some people just hate to think about that kind of stuff. But if you can find a guy who's like a fringe starter for you at six in this class, that's probably a win. And guys like Okoro, guys like Tyrese Haliburton, Devin Vassell, they all kind of fit that bill for me. So the good thing is, if you don't move back, there are guys you like, but you can kind of combine the best of both worlds if you're able to slide back a few slots, because honestly, like I said before, the guys are all graded the same. So if you can find a team that's below you that thinks differently and wants one guy, you could slide down and find someone that I still think is in that same tier, and that's kind of the best case scenario.
Now, one of the things I've heard and I also sort of gleaned from, you know, listening to the Locked On NBA mock draft as well, is that there is no sort of consensus on how guys rank at the top of this draft. So I guess I'm wondering, you know, who's sort of at the top of your board, and do you sort of see it as a scenario where if one of those guys, because the NBA teams are, you know, sort of all over the place with their rankings, you know, if one of those guys slides to six for the Hawks, is there anybody out there that you're kind of hoping could fall to that spot? And would you sort of sprint to the podium, as they say, to make that pick?
My number one overall, not even just Hawks, just like my number one overall on the board is LaMelo Ball. I like him a lot. He's very talented. I think that he's probably underrated right now. And I think I talked about this actually. I was actually on the Chad Ford podcast pretty recently, and Chad brought this up, and I agree with it. I think if LaMelo Ball had gone to like Duke or a prominent blue blood program, he would be a more consensus number one. That's obviously some projection in there. But I think if he had gone to college in a more traditional route, he would be seen in a little bit more of a favorable light, because instead he went to Australia and played professional basketball last year, which is, you know, perfectly fine. He made some money and was decent enough over there to maintain his stock. But I like him a lot. He isn't a great fit with the Hawks. I think if the Hawks had won the lottery, as you know, even before the lottery, feels like it was months ago now, but for the lottery, I talked about that a lot, like whether the Hawks could even take him or not. And I think they probably could have, but now that isn't going to be the case. The other guy is Anthony Edwards, who's a local guy from Georgia. He would be the one guy that I've been saying, if the Hawks were going to fall in love with someone and trade up, which I would not necessarily recommend in this class, but if there's one guy you could sort of defend it as a idea, it's for Edwards, because Edwards has flaws for sure, but he's the only guy that I think in Atlanta maybe has real star upside. And if you're going to trade up, it's kind of the same thing in football, honestly. If you're going to trade up, you want to trade up for a star most of the time, especially in the NBA. It's even more so in the NBA, where you don't want to give up assets for a role player, ideally. And I think Edwards has actual star power. I'm not in love with him, but that's the only way that if they, you know, maybe you get a good value on a trade up because everybody's trying to trade down, maybe you do that. And I think, to that end of what you were asking me, if he were to somehow get to like four or five, maybe you pay a small price to go up and get him. I just don't see a scenario where he gets to six. But if that happened, he would be the only guy where it's like becomes a no brainer for me, just because his upside and just overall talent level is a little bit higher.
Now, Brad, I got to ask you this, because it seems like with the NFL draft, this happens on an annual basis, I should say, where, you know, people get all caught up thinking about one specific player, with the Falcons especially in recent years has been the case, where it's like, oh, we're going to trade up for Chase Young, or we're going to trade up for Ed Oliver or whatever. And then the Falcons zig when they are expected to zag. And then we have to sort of justify, like, oh, well, you know, the Chris Lindstrom pick was really solid and AJ Terrell pick was really solid, you know, which they were. But it's just one of those things where it catches a lot of people by surprise. Is this going to be one of those drafts where it's like, I have no idea what's going to happen, and we'll just probably spend, you know, next week justifying what might be in a lot of ways a questionable pick, and not just for the Hawks, but for a lot of teams picking towards the top of this draft?
Yeah, there could be some weirdness for sure. And I would say the only – one of the good things about falling to six in the lottery was that six was always a place where even fans, I think, understood, or at least I tried to help them understand, that there wasn't going to be one guy. There just wasn't. You can't think of that at number six. You can't think about one guy, especially in the NBA draft, that you just center on too much. Just because, you know, in the NFL, you can kind of game out certain teams, what they absolutely can't draft, et cetera. Like teams with quarterbacks don't want to draft quarterbacks, et cetera. If you're in the NBA draft, if there's five teams ahead of you, there's no way you can definitely tell who is going to be there and who is not going to be there. So that helps a little bit. I think there's a group of guys that that Hawks fans are centering on, and part of that's just because of the discussion and the mock drafts and how long this cycle has been. I think guys like Isaac Okoro, Tyrese Haliburton, Denny Avdija are the three that I've heard probably the most, both from fans and in mock drafts. So anytime, and there's a crossover there, as you know, like anytime a guy gets mock draft to your team in major places multiple times, fans start thinking that guy's coming. And I get all that too, but the range of outcomes is pretty wide, especially when you throw in the fact that Travis Schlenk is not scared to make trades. He's been pretty active on draft night basically every year he's been here. And also, you know, there's public rumors about the Hawks making trades. So between trading down or trading out or trading up, and genuinely at six, there's probably six or seven guys the Hawks could draft, and I wouldn't be too surprised. Factor all that in, and there's just so many outcomes that I think, I'm sure somebody somewhere is like in love with one guy, and they'll be mad if they don't have that one guy. But I think in general, this year it isn't quite as much like that. Whereas last year, like, Cam Reddish was a guy the Hawks wanted forever, and mm-hmm. Hawks fans wanted forever, and that actually happened, which was a surprise because, like you said, normally that doesn't work out. But this year, there really isn't the one guy like that, where, at least in my experience, that fans have kind of just like centered on.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And you talk about the Hawks being involved in trades, and I sort of want to move the conversation forward and talk a little bit about sort of what's coming right on the heels of this draft next week with free agency kicking off and sort of what the Hawks could be doing as they, you know, very quickly try to get prepared for this upcoming 2021 season. We'll get Brad's thoughts on sort of what's at stake for the Hawks this year as well, coming up on today's Locked On Falcons. But before we get there, I do want to plug tomorrow's episode where we will be answering your listener questions right here on the Locked On Falcons podcast. And of course, if you have questions to be answered on a Wednesday wisdom episode where I will be sharing you my wisdom on the Atlanta Falcons on a Wednesday with you, of course, you can send in those questions to Twitter, to Locked On Falcons, to Facebook, to Locked On Falcons, or you can send an email to lockedonfalcons@mail.com. Guys, we have to break through walls every day, whether they be mental or physical, and helping us do that is Built Go, the best workout gel on the market, brought to you by the same folks at Built Bar that bring you the best tasting protein bar on the market. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein, making it fast absorbing and easy on the stomach. It's loaded with good stuff like beta alanine, B3, honey with a kick of caffeine, and collagen also promotes joint, soft tissue, hair and skin health. It literally makes you look better. And like Built Bars, it tastes better too, because it comes in three delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. It's a healthier replacement for your energy drink or coffee, because it's going to give you that same kick that you need, but it's lasting, it's natural, and it won't give you that crash feeling that you normally get. So look good, feel good, and break through your walls by visiting BuiltGo.com. Use the promo code LOCKED to get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. So Brad Rowland with us from Locked On Hawks. And Brad, you know, there's a pretty short turnaround. I mean, there's usually a pretty short turnaround from the NBA draft to the free agency. But this year, of course, things are being accelerated at, you know, hyperspeed. You know, the Hawks have been sort of mentioned around with various trades. I've seen, you know, I haven't been paying as much attention to it, but it seems like certain trades have been like, oh, there's rumors that the Hawks want this player. And then there's other people saying like, no, check with sources, that's not true. I guess for you, if it's not going to be a case where if who the Hawks draft isn't going to grab headlines, are there moves that they could make later in the week or later this month that could wind up grabbing headlines ahead of this upcoming season?
I think if they draw like major national headlines, it'll be with a trade and not necessarily a signing. It's not impossible that they could sign someone. The Hawks do have actually the most cap space in the entire NBA right now. But this is an offseason where there really aren't pieces that are stars that are going to move. The only two guys who are stars who are free agents technically are Anthony Davis, who is going to go back to the Lakers. Everyone knows it. And Brandon Ingram from the Pelicans, who is restricted. So basically they can match any offer and they're going to match any offer. So those guys aren't leaving. And there are some guys who are pretty good players that are on the market. The Hawks could certainly sign one of them, but they're more role player guys. They're good role players, but they're not going to change the conversation. You know, the Hawks were linked to Jrue Holiday in a trade rumor last week. Jrue Holiday is the kind of guy who would actually garner some headlines. That's a top like 35 player in the league probably. And if the Hawks were able to pull that off, they would certainly get some attention for doing that, and they'd be a lot better for it. But you know, because they have so much money and flexibility, trades are interesting. They can kind of be a partner for other teams that need to send salary elsewhere. The NBA trade rules are very difficult to understand. But, yeah, I think if they're going to do something splashy, it'll be with a trade either on draft night or in the couple of days after that. But there really is no time to, like, reset. Like, you sort of alluded to it, but it's going to be really weird. Usually there's, like, a week and a half, maybe, week plus between the draft and free agency. And that isn't a very long time, but it gives you some time to sort of realign. This year it's like 40 hours. So it's you kind of have to have a plan now. At least a rough plan, or at least have your options laid out, because you don't have time to like wait to do free agency prep after the draft. You kind of have to figure out what's going to happen now. So it's all kind of in one bucket this year, which is interesting and also challenging to project.
Now, again, from football perspective, you hear, "Oh, they got a ton of cap space." And the expectations, and I guess I'll get your thoughts on this, the expectations the Hawks are pushing for the playoffs this upcoming season, you would sort of put two and two together in football and say, oh, they're going to go out there and be big spenders in free agency. You just mentioned that there aren't necessarily the pieces there. Do you feel, A, you know, that, yes, the Hawks are going to try to make a push for the postseason in 2021, and B, do you feel like that's going to compel them to do make a move for, you know, whether it's trading for Jrue Holiday or something of that ilk to try to make a splash and really move the ball forward for this team?
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting because the cap space is valuable, but also this is a really bad year to have it in a lot of ways. And, you know, the Hawks made the playoffs for 10 straight years. That happened. But they've never been a massive free agent destination to the point where they're going to sign somebody, I'm fairly confident, that's going to help them, because there is a mandate, which I'll get into in a second, to sort of get better for next year. But they're in a position right now where they kind of have to win bidding wars on free agents. You don't really see guys taking a discount or even the same money to come to Atlanta. The Hawks have, you know, which this is a good thing, by the way, but the Hawks have young, talented guys at every position. So if you're a veteran that's more of a solid vet, do you want to come in for the same money or less money and compete for playing time? Not necessarily have a role like firmly assured. Probably not. So if they get into the bidding war for somebody, they kind of have to spend the most money, which they can do, but you want to be responsible about doing that. And to your point about the playoffs, it's one of the worst kept secrets in the league right now that the Hawks are trying to make the playoffs. Both because they've said it on the record and also because of, you know, back channel stuff. The Hawks started about like early March, right before the shutdown, talking about Lloyd Pierce, the head coach, talked about the playoffs kind of candidly in a practice press conference. And then from there, he talked about it later on during the extended offseason. The players are now into it as well. Playoffs are now like the on the record goal for this team next year, which is that's a change. The last 2-3 years before this, you know, everyone talks about wanting to make the playoffs every year, but they would shy away from it, you know? Like, you get asked about it, and guys would, like, talk around it. This time, they're talking about it. They're putting their name to that. They're, you know, it's a flat-out goal that they're trying to achieve. And part of that is just the roster. If you're the GM of a team that's openly, whether there's pressure or not is up for debate, but certainly that's coming from somewhere that they want to make the playoffs next year. They kind of have to do something to improve the roster, because if they just run the band back, you can't assume that's going to be a playoff team. So they got to do something. And everyone's assumption, including mine, is that they're going to do something in terms of using the cap space, trades, assets, all that stuff to get better. You have to walk that fine line, though, because you don't want to go all in on a team that's not going to be good enough and sort of hamstring yourself long term. So that's now the dance the Hawks are doing. And that's always a tough one to navigate.
All right, Brad, this is my last question for you today. Any sort of bold predictions, whether it's draft-related, trade-related, free agency-related, or even season-related, any bold predictions that I can put you on the record now in November that will pay off at some point over the next, I don't know, what are we, 8-9 months or whatever the case may be?
This is hard. This is not it, but my actual one would be the fact that they're going to bring somebody into the organization that is a starting caliber veteran player. That's not bold, so I won't use that as my choice. But that's one that I'm going to put on the record for sure, that they're going to add, either by free agency or by trade, someone who is a starting caliber player. But from there, you know, this might make me look silly, but I think that, you know, you might not know this, but they're going to do these play-in tournaments next year for the playoffs, where you'll have the 7, 8, 9, 10 seeds play for the playoffs, basically. And I'm not even sure how bold this is, but the Hawks are going to be in that tournament.
Okay.
Next year. And, you know, whether they make the playoffs or not is something else, but I would be pretty surprised, barring like a Trae Young injury or something like that, knock on wood, that they're not in that. So that may not be bold, but they're going to be right on the doorstep, if not in the playoffs next year.
Look, I'll take it, you know. Would they've missed the playoffs, what, 3 years?
3 years in a row, yes. After making it for 10 straight, they've missed it 3 years in a row. So we're in a weird time.
Yeah, so, you know, I'll take that. That's bold enough to me. I mean, you know, if the Falcons – I guess the Falcons have missed the playoffs 3 years in a row.
well, listen, to bring it all full circle, the Falcons somehow, some way, are not dead in the playoff race right
now.
That's
what they keep telling me, and then you hear these rumors about expanding it to 8 teams, and people are like, hey, that eight seed's up for grabs, and it's like, yeah, you're absolutely right. It is up for grabs.
Just got to get to 8-8, Aaron. That's it. Eight and 8's the number.
Yeah, that's the number. And it'll be funny, because I think I had them going 8-8 going to the season, but if they've managed to get to 8-8 after starting 0-5, I definitely did not have them starting 0-5. So
it'll be 8-8 with those three historic losses would actually be pretty impressive.
Yeah.
All things considered, that's, you're basically a 10-11 win team at that point.
Yeah. So that would be a pretty bold prediction. So if it's bold enough for the Falcons, it's bold enough for the Hawks at this point, is basically what I'm saying. So I'll take it, Brad. Let the people know where they can find your stuff. Obviously on Locked On Hawks, Twitter, you know, your written content, you're all over the place, Brad. So I'll let you plug all the things that you need to plug.
Yeah, thanks for having me, as always. You talked about it before, but I was on the Locked On NBA mock draft show. That's a fun one. In addition to my daily work on Locked On Hawks, I am the managing editor at PeachtreeHoops.com, covering the Hawks in written form. I also write for NBA and NBA draft stuff at Dime on UpRocks. And this is a sort of an announcement almost. I tweeted about it once, but I'm actually going to be on the Hawks official YouTube live show during the draft. So you'll be able to see that, I'm sure. It's around, hosted by Bob Rathman and Big Tigger. So that'll be a lot of fun. I'm the draft expert of sorts on that podcast. I guess not even a podcast, like on that live show. So all of that's there. Follow me on Twitter at BT Roland. Follow the show also that I host at Locked On Hawks on Twitter. And usually you'll see me on Sundays yelling about the Falcons. So there you go.
Yes, yes. Brad, man, I definitely appreciate it, you know, giving me this great bi-week content, but also, showing your stuff and your knowledge for this NBA draft and season that is, you know, literally right around the corner.
We're almost there. Thanks, Aaron.
All right, man. Yeah, look, you deserve it, because you had many months of doing daily shows about, I won't say nothing, but because you did something. But
kind of nothing. Kind of nothing.
Yeah. So, full on sprint. So we'll see how that goes. But appreciate it, Brad. And have a good day.
Thank you, brother. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
All right, man. You too. Thanks for doing this.
See you.
Shout out to Brad Roland for, you know, doing this episode with me. And, you know, before we duck out of here, I do want to plug the Locked On Live broadcast that will be giving you that live coverage of the NBA draft on tomorrow nights on any number of platforms, including Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And again, all you have to do is search Locked On Live and you'll find it on all four of those platforms. Of course, check out Brad Roland on the Locked On NBA mock draft, as well as Locked On Hawks. And we'll get back to more Falcons related content on tomorrow's episode. And you guys can send in questions to be answered on tomorrow's episode by sending them in to the Twitter account or the Facebook account, which is, of course, Locked On Falcons, or you can send an email to lockedonfalcons@mail.com. Look forward to talking with you guys tomorrow. Until then.